Hello, everybody, and welcome to On the Tee with Dr. P, where we discuss golf, women's golf, and a whole lot of other stuff from the academic perspective. No, it's not as boring as you might think, and you may be just surprised just how fun the academic world of golf really can be. Being a student of golf is a lifelong journey, isn't it? Let's keep on that journey right now. Class is in session. As many of you know, I'm from the state of Tennessee. I can say that with a drawl if you need me to do that, but here in the South, there's a lot of yes ma'ams and no thank you sirs that are still said, and the South is known still as a place of hospitality, and around these parts, you're going to hear, y'all come back now, you hear? We still say that. And here in Tennessee, we get to claim the iconic Dolly Parton. I guess my only claim to fame on that one is my mom, Dr. P. Sr., who many of you have heard from in other podcasts that we've done. She and Dolly both played the drums in high school, and they actually played in band camp together many years ago. So that's the best I have as far as my Dolly Parton story. But also here in Tennessee, we have some of the best barbecue in the country, and that's found in Memphis. And we still wave at each other while driving the back roads where the farms and the hay bales are plentiful. You know, but one thing in the South that we've always been known for is chivalry. Chivalry, yes. Let me give you a definition of this term so we have some context. Chivalry is the combination of qualities expected of an ideal knight. And when I say knight, I mean with a K, K-N-I-G-H-T, especially courage, honor, courtesy, justice, and a readiness to help the weak. Here's another. The sum of the ideal qualification of a knight, including generosity and valor. And here's one more, a gallant or distinguished gentleman. You know, some say that chivalry is a lost art these days, and some say we need to get rid of it even because the modern person or the modern woman just isn't interested in it anymore. Well, now there's a little evidence that it still does exist, and it's not just when somebody opens a door for you. It's actually found on the golf course. Okay, so I came across this article. It was written in 2010, and it was called Chivalry in Golf, with a question mark at the end. This, of course, caught my eye, and I had to take a look at this. The article basically explores some economic reasoning for the fact that women's tees, quote, women's tees, are closer to the pin than the men's in southern states. Okay, take that in for a second. And first, I admit that I thought this was a stretch, a big one, a big stretch. But as I kept reading, I have to say there were some interesting points the author made. Here's the first thing they did. They compiled a list of tee ratios. Now, what they meant by tee ratios was basically distance between the tees. Okay. Now, they basically looked at red to white and red to gold. Well, as it turns out, the southern states, which they classified as South Carolina, North Carolina, Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, Alabama, and Arkansas, were all squarely in the same category. In those states, the tees are farther apart from each other than most other states. Okay, you're saying, what does this matter? Well, hold on, we've got some more results. Overall course length does matter. Longer courses had larger tee ratio differences. Okay. Courses with more holes have smaller tee ratio differences. Courses which offer caddies had smaller tee ratio differences. The more recently the course was built, the bigger the difference. And finally, the higher the cart fee, the smaller the difference between the men's and the women's tee lengths. The authors went on to use some economic theory to explain why in the world this would be. They even suggested a higher cart fee may be part of a pricing strategy to encourage cart use by couples, maybe, or present-day courses are built to attract more resort traffic and not necessarily world-class women golfers. Okay, so I took a lot with that, and that's fine, and this is good. But this is where it got even more interesting. And I have to admit, as I read this article, I kind of laughed a little bit. Now, you don't see that very much in academic work that you get a little chuckle, but okay. They actually mentioned chivalry. They wondered if chivalry was a factor in these T ratios. Not necessarily anything economic, it was just old Southern chivalry, just traditional. Well, this piqued my interest. And what I decided to do was I took a gamble and I decided to contact one of the authors. There were two at the time, but I wanted to at least try to contact one of them, and I emailed him and said that I enjoyed the article and the results were interesting, but I just had to ask. How in the world this idea came to be? How in the world did you think to connect chivalry to basically economic theory and to golf? Well, I wasn't expecting to hear from him at all, and I believe the author at the time was at a university in South Carolina. But the answer came within a few minutes. I couldn't believe it. And here's what the author said back to me. Here's what he replied. He said the two of the authors had been writing and working together for over 50 years. And so they worked well together and enjoyed each other's studying together and that type of thing. And he said that one day they were just messing around with some data. And that's what professors do, by the way. We like to sit around with data, and it may be a little nerdy, but we do. And they started seeing this variation in the ratio of red and white teas. And chivalry hadn't come into their mind yet, but what one of them questioned out loud was, well, maybe southern states were more polite than other regions. And they just laughed about it and went on. And after laughing and deciding that probably isn't true, they realized they had something. So they started looking a little farther into the data to find some patterns, and that's where it started. And they decided, and just out of a nowhere, out of the blue, decided to add another variable to the equation based on one of them saying, well, maybe southern states are just more polite. So what they did is they added a quote, dummy variable, and that's basically a variable that's made up. But they added a dummy variable of chivalry. Okay, so not everything in the world is scientific, how professors come up with this stuff, but that's how it was. Let's go back to the study. Now, here's a quote that I thought was pretty good. It's kind of long, so stick with me, but it gives it some more context. Quote, "Of particular interest is a dummy variable we created for chivalry. Given the obvious differences in men and women's driving skills, demand in some markets, or women for that matter, treat each other differently for some other reason, well, as it was put once to us, quote, is there chivalry in the placement of golf tees? One suggestion that has been made is that Southern men treat women differently than men in other regions. And if this is true, our model might be able to detect this effect. To investigate this question, we included a dummy for states which were formerly members of the South, or members of the South now. Some people suggest that men say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, in more regions of the country than others. If so, is this language without meaning, or does the language mirror a real difference? End quote. Well, the dummy variable as chivalry proved to be significant. And in academic terms, when we say something is significant, that means it's statistically significant. And compared to the mean red and white tee ratio, the length of the women's tees in the South is about 2.3% shorter. But they went on to ask some pretty thought-provoking questions. Again, I have to admit, some of these made me think and again made me have a little laugh. But maybe they have something. Here's some of the things that they posed. Do more women professional golfers come from outside the South since the courses are relatively easier in the South? Man, they haven't played my course. Does the difficulty effect outside the South offset the reduced cost of playing, which would attract more women to golfing in the South? So there's their economic question there. Is the tee ratio simply a reflection of the additional desire of men and women to play together more in the South? Well, with the shorter distance for females speeding up playing time owing to the shorter driving distance? So there's the maybe the women are slow thing, I don't know. Does any of this, they asked, does any of this extend to off the course? What about regional instances of spousal abuse, enforcement of alimony payments, the divorce rate, contributions to breast cancer research, female participation as deacons in churches and women in state legislature? And what about the influx of foreign, especially Asian women golfers into the LPGA? What are the tee ratios in Korea and Japan? Phew. Wow. The authors suggested that their paper could lend itself to larger societal issues of how men and women interact. They even brought up how birth control techniques have freed women to join more equally in the traditional, quote, traditional labor force. Whew. Double wow, right? Okay. So now we have some evidence that, quote, women's tees in the southern states were placed based on chivalry? Well, based on the definitions I said earlier, my tee box was placed for me due to a sense of courtesy and a readiness to help the weak because I'm weak, right? Is this generosity? Well, I tend to look for another version of chivalry. I decided that this needed a little bit more investigation. Well, I found a few, and this is a bit farther back, and this code of chivalry was, it originated in the time of Charlemagne. Now, Charlemagne, there's my southern draw, but so this was a long time ago, 742 AD or so, and the code demanded a knight to show mercy to a defeated enemy. Okay. And it also said the sacred oath of the code had strict rules of etiquette and codes of conduct. And later on, the ideas of temperance, truth, hope, valor all became a part of that code. But another code was written somewhere around the year 1098. And I think this one's got a lot of golf written into it. They didn't realize that, right? One of the things that it said was never refuse a challenge from an equal. For golf, this could have several meanings, right? Your challenge from whatever tee box is what you make of it. I think so. Or another one from this code was to keep the faith. And all tee boxes, as soon as you step up, all tee boxes have hope for a good shot, right? A better pitch, a sunk putt. Somewhere on that hole, there's some faith. And then the last one was to fight for the welfare of all. Whether your tee box is in the back or the middle or the front, we can see them as an equal part of the game. And that reminds me, when I was playing the other day, my course was set up for a tournament, which was happening later that day. And you know how they will always put up the signage that this hole is sponsored by so-and-so and, you know, get a hole-in-one and you win whatever. And on number 15 of my course, they had a sign up that said women's long drive, and there was the contest for that hole, but they had placed that sign on the front tee. So I guess that was assumed that that was the women's tee. But yeah, fight for the welfare of all. But then the last one's the one that caught my eye, and it said to respect the honor of women. Now, I can appreciate this thought, and this was well-intentioned, I'm sure, given the context of time in which it was written, and this sentiment may have emerged again on golf courses, as we've noted, as the authors noted, in southern states. And maybe not much has changed throughout all those hundreds of years, but this is where we can look a little bit deeper. This can let us question the deep-seated attitudes that golf still holds. Now, I feel like these are under the surface. We can see some obvious blatant sexism in the media, no question about it. Obvious language issues such as two-man scramble. But the ones we don't see are the ones that may be still holding us back as a culture. There are still those values that are underlying that just are holding the whole golf culture back. Now, I'm not saying we need to move the tee boxes, not quite yet. But what we can learn from this article is that the idea of chivalry is still a consideration. It's a thought. It's an option. It's in the lexicon of golf. It's an excuse. Chivalry isn't always a bad thing, and it tends to be sincere, I think, and it doesn't really intend to cause any harm. However, it is bad when it's used to disenfranchise or minimize, diminish, or marginalize. It isn't good when the person receiving it doesn't want it. It may even assume that the other person is weaker when they really aren't. Let's conclude this because class is about over for the day. This is a deep subject, right? I truly enjoyed this article. I really did. And as a Southern woman, there's no question it made me laugh a little. And it also reminds me that golf can still surprise and still enlighten us even after we think we've seen it all. So please contact me or email me at onthetwithdrp@gmail.com, or you can find me on Twitter at drkelly04. Check out talkinggolf.com, talkinggolf.com for more podcasts, golf podcasts, that are sure to leave you intrigued and enlightened. So in my best Southern draw, I'm going to say goodbye for now, and I guess y'all come back now, you hear? And always go for the flag.